Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, which means peace be unto you. Welcome to another episode of The Deen Show. If you want to learn about Muslims, you've come to the right place. You want to learn about Islam, you've come to the source. Now, from time to time, we bring on different learned individuals in Islam. We cover different topics and we bring you certain treats at times. People who have accepted Islam. When we come back, we're going to introduce Brother Shazam. He's going to tell us his story, how he came to Islam, and how he's still in Islam, and he's excited about Islam, and he's sharing Islam to the people. Sit tight, you don't go nowhere.
Allah, there's only one God, and Muhammad is his messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah. Allah, there's only one God, and Jesus was his messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah.
I don't know why I did that. Maybe it's just to break the ice. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Did I say your name? Shazam?
Shazad, yes. Yeah.
Shazad.
Yeah.
Okay. President of the Canadian Dawah Association. Before we get into some of the wonderful work that you're doing, the people are excited. They love hearing the stories of how people come to Islam. Now, you have a unique situation that, as I heard, that you have a family who were, some of their roots were from the Islamic origin, but they weren't practicing Islam.
Right.
Talk to us, tell us a little bit, start us off on your story.
Alhamdulillah, basically, Allah has been most kind to me. Approximately, I'd say about 10 or 11 years ago, I entered into the fold of Islam, alhamdulillah. Originally, I'm from the Caribbean, so I have some roots that go back to Islam and different religions. My parents originally were Muslims, alhamdulillah, but a person being born and raised in Toronto, in Canada, I wasn't raised believing in a particular way or a particular religion. In school, the general schools that we went to, they would teach us the theory of Darwinism. And that is, as everyone knows, the belief that human beings have no creator and everything came about by chance. Alhamdulillah, after thinking about this and going through this life, trying to look for happiness in all the wrong places, mm-hmm. at times looking for happiness in intoxicants or in the fast life, or in just things that have short pleasures, I started to realize that, there must be more to life. And alhamdulillah, I would say that after thinking and just trying to reason, I figured out that if simple things like a car requires, there must be a manufacturer, then more so a human being must also require a manufacturer or a creator. So I began little by little believing that there must be a creator, there must be a God. And I began trying to search out and find out, who is this creator and what are we supposed to do in order to fulfill our purpose in life. After, I would say, general research, I went to churches, I went to different religious gatherings, researching through the Bible, reading a little bit of the Old and New Testament, as well as reading through books of Buddhism, Hinduism. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided me to read a bit about the Quran.
Wait 1 second, please, because I want to simplify for the person who just heard you mention Allah, and you said subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can you define what this is for our non-Muslims who are listening?
Well, of course, as you hear the word Allah, Allah is the, when we refer to Allah, we mean the only creator, the God who created everything.
It's not a moon god, is it?
No, of course, not a moon god. Actually, Christian Arabs and even Jewish Arabs, they refer to God by the name Allah. So this is not strange to the Arab Christian or the Arab Jew. So when you hear me say Allah, I'm speaking about the creator of the heavens and the earth. When you hear me say Allah, I'm speaking about the one who created everything and controlling everything and sustaining everything. When you hear me say Allah, I'm speaking about the one who is allowing the sun to rise in the east every day and to set in the west. When I speak about Allah, I'm speaking about the one who allows the clouds to form and the rain to descend. So with that being in mind, it was really a bounty from Allah, from my Creator, that He guided me to Islam after going through all these different stages. I have to say that it wasn't all at once. Like my background, like I said, I was looking for happiness in all the wrong places. previously I used to be a DJ, very much involved in the music industry, very much involved in what's taking place in the entertainment world. Thinking that happiness was in that type of lifestyle. And after seeing so many people, meeting so many people, you think that they're happy. They have everything. They have wealth. They have fame. They have women. They have, you know, everything that people look to today on television, thinking that this is, you know, this is happiness. I met many of these people, myself being one of them, and found that I did not find true happiness in that. I would come back home after a party, come back home after, some of these festivals, and I would find that when I go to sleep at night, I feel like something's missing. Even though in the apparent look at it, I had basically everything that I thought I needed to have. I would go to sleep at night and I feel like something's missing. And it wasn't until after, like I said, I began this search, figuring out, you know, that there is a creator, figuring out that, you know, this creator must send a revelation. I mean, if we are people who, when we purchase a brand new television or a brand new computer, it comes with an instruction manual telling you, you know, how to work this thing that you just purchased, or this new television, what button is for what, and how to use it. So if you think about these companies like Sony, who, when you buy a brand new television, it comes with this instruction manual, we have to think, well, what about the creator of the heavens and the earth? I mean, of course, he would also send us an instruction manual. So after time, after research, I realized that, yes, of course, the creator of the heavens and the earth, he did send us an instruction manual, or instruction manuals, revelations. And of course, he did send us instructors. These were prophets and messengers. So little by little, I began to compare, like I said, reading through the Gospels, reading through different religious texts. A person offered me the Quran in high school. I never really had any Muslim friends, but this person was in one of my classes, and he saw me researching and reading and doing a lot of stuff like this. And he gave me a copy of the Quran, and he said, why don't you read this book? You know, there's no book like this. This book itself is like a miraculous book. And so tell me all these things about it. Myself, now, I thought, you know, I never heard of a book like this. But he said, no one can produce a book like it. So I said, well, let me see it. You know, I took it, and I took it with a sense of pride or a sense of arrogance that, let me see it. I don't think it's that, you know, that big of a deal. I could read this book and see what it's all about, you know. Mm-hmm. I started reading the Quran, and just in English, the way the Quran speaks to you, I started feeling, you know, this Quran is speaking to me. You know, it's telling me stuff. It's making me think. The way the Quran speaks is very, very eloquent and very, very powerful. And it makes you think. Many times the Quran says, you know, do not look at such and such. Do not ponder of the creation of the heavens and the earth. And so it had me thinking. And little by little, as I read more of the Quran, I began to believe more and more in this book, that it is indeed a book of revelation. And I read a very interesting article by Dr. Keith Moore. Dr. Keith Moore, it was the head professor of the Department of Embryology for the studies in the University of Toronto. And I heard that this person, Dr. Keith Moore, a non-Muslim, had written a research paper showing that the Quran, or stating that the Quran could not be from a human source. And he was saying that the detailed description of how the embryo develops in the mother's womb was not known to modern science, except recently. You know, probably approximately now, probably about 80 or 90 years since they started discovering, you know, these details about, you know, how the embryo develops.
Muhammad could not have known these facts about human development in the 7th century because most of them were not discovered until the 20th century.
That God transmitted through Muhammad bits of his knowledge that we have only discovered for ourselves in recent times.
1,400 years ago, when the world was immersed in darkness, the Quran was revealed, which brought light to a beleaguered world. And whereas the earlier books came with many scientific mistakes, due to the hand of man having delved into them, the Quran had none of these contradictions. The world thought there could be no reconciliation between religion and science. But the Quran mentioned many scientific facts in great detail, like how a human being developed in the mother's womb, and described other scientific facts which amaze the world's renowned scientists and scientific community.
He said the accuracy of the Quran in describing it was so accurate that this had to be revelation. There's no way that an Arab living in the desert of Arabia 1400 years ago who could not read or write could have come with this information. So after reading these things, and reading the Quran and studying and thinking about life, I began to turn towards Islam. I used to believe in Islam and believe in the Quran, but it was a very gradual process. And when I say gradual process, it's a very important point. I would never, people would tell me, well, why don't you just believe in the whole Quran and just, mm-hmm. you know.
Hold that point. Don't lose your place there. I just want to rewind a little bit. I want you to tell us, bringing it back to when you used to DJ, how did you, from a man, I had a guest with me before, I don't know if you heard of Sohail Webb, he used to DJ too. Were you ever on the same circuit with him?
No.
Okay. And he talked about his experience before, and being in this scene, having people praise you, having people, you know, admire you. Hey, DJ, can you play that song? And you got all these, things tantalizing you, or tempting you, and you feel good about this. How'd you get away from that? How was it? How did you break through that? Because, you know, it's getting your head big, people sweating you, they're around you, people want to be next to you. How'd you break through this? Some people can never.
Well, I have to say that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he started guiding me, it was the most inspiring thing, starting to find meaning to my life.
Yeah.
And so it was, I started to see these things as meaningless, even though I was known amongst people, even though people used to think that, you know, what I'm doing is cool, whatnot. I realized that the reality of the situation is really just, you know, fun and game. There's not much substance to this lifestyle. Most of the stuff I've done, even though I was a DJ, I used to do more like produce tapes and produce. I was more known from the things that I produced rather than just performing or DJing at nightclubs. But what the main thing I realized was that, you know, once you start to search for happiness, the main thing I realized was that I would never be happy unless the one that created me was happy with me. And that's the main point that helped me to change. When I started realizing, how am I going to be happy unless the one who created me is happy with me? So that was a strong point of realization, mm-hmm. finding out where true happiness lies.
So that wasn't bringing you true happiness. There was something missing.
For sure.
Alhamdulillah that you got past that. Continue on with what you were saying.
Right. So, in a nutshell, you know, the...
You were talking about gradually...
Gradually coming to Islam. So I didn't really like just, I started reading the Quran now and I'm a Muslim.
Yeah.
I believed in a concept, yes, I'm a Muslim, I'm submitting to the will of Allah. I believed in the concept that, yes, this Quran, you know, seems like it's a book of revelation, and I believe in the Quran as far as I've read, you know. And people will come to me and say, well, why don't you just be a Muslim? Why don't you just, you read so much about it. Why don't you just accept Islam? And, just believe in the Quran and believe in everything you're supposed to believe in. And I said, look, one of the things that interests me in Islam is the theme. Quran says, produce your proof if you are truthful. And so this was something that really appealed to me. I saw how the Quran always encouraged proof and research. And so I was only believing things that was proven to me. So when it would be said to me, why don't you just believe in the whole Quran? I would say, well, I can't because I have not read the whole Quran. I can tell you I believe in so much as far as I've read. But when I complete the Quran, I'll tell you if I believe in the whole of the Quran. And that was the approach that I took. And alhamdulillah, Allah allowed me to complete reading the Quran in the, you know, translation, English language. And alhamdulillah, you know, I accepted Islam. I didn't know you had to, at that time, you had to say Shahada or any type of stuff like this or make a pronouncement. But I did in my heart believe in Islam and I began trying to practice what I knew. Little by little, alhamdulillah, people that were around me, some of my friends that were non-Muslim, where I went to high school with and I used to hang out with, they started asking about Islam. And before I knew it, more than three or four of them had become Muslim as well. And we became, basically like a small little clique that we would hang out together and we would encourage one another in Islam. So it was really it's really a blessing, and Allah blessed me after that, after learning about, you know, the beauty of Islam and that this is a true religion. I realized that I have to increase my knowledge, I have to go and study. And that's when I set out to go and, visit these different lands. I went to Egypt for a short time, and then I was blessed to come and visit Medina and be accepted here to study.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah. Alhamdulillah. Tell us, for those who are, you know, young and they're excited about doing some of the things that you used to do, and you know what, they can relate. We got their attention, they were flicking through, and they stopped and they're listening to your story, and we got their ear. But you know, they're indulging in some of their passions, you know, the right. Desires taking charge. And you know what, the society is like, it's taboo to talk about right. God. They're thinking that, you know what, I don't want to be around no organized religion, as they say. I'll do my own thing. What advice do you have for them?
Well, what I got to say to people like that is, I mean, I used to think like that. I used to be like that. I thought that, you know, I can find my own way to happiness and you can find your own way, and that's all we need to do. But, I mean, I'm talking about people that's been in the fast life. Major celebrities I've met, people who are multimillionaires, people who are, you know, world famous, who have everything that people might be thinking brings happiness. And these people are now turning around and trying to find out about life, trying to find out about who God is, trying to find out about what His message is. And we have major people, people like, you know, like Dave Chappelle, who became Muslim, who, you know, has, you know, started his spiritual journey and got the, you know, he had the opportunity to come and visit Mecca and with myself, and we, you know, performed the Lesser Pilgrimage.
Dave Chappelle. For those that don't know, he's like a big time.
Yeah, he's a comedian, and he's
actor.
really, you know, people may just see him, you know, in the media as, you know, a person that's very humorous, but they also, there's also another side to him that's very spiritual and very down to earth, very moral person. Mm-hmm. He's also a great family man. He came with his family, his children, and I mean, these people, after having all these different things, they realize that, you know, like true happiness is really going to come from the one who created you. Every fiber of your body, the one who made you. If this creator, the one who gave you everything or created you in every fiber of your body, if he is happy with you, then you will also find happiness in your life. And many people like him, people like Napoleon, who was a major rapper, was a rapper Tupac. He also, you know, accepted Islam and, you know, found happiness in it. And he came, he's also visited Mecca, visited Medina.
He was a rapper for Tupac?
Tupac's Outlaws. He was in a group called Tupac's Outlaws. And he sold over 60 million records worldwide. You know, he's been on records that sold over 60 million records. So, I mean, these are people that had it all and had more than many people wish to, you know, think they'll ever have in their life. And yet they're willing to, you know, they see through it. And they can see that there's more to life. You know, more morality and being in contact with your creator and knowing why you exist on this planet and where you're going to go after you pass away. These are very important questions. And I think that, you know, looking into Islam, you can find the answers, as many prominent people did find the answers. And you look at people like Malcolm X, who found those answers in Islam. You look at people like, you know, Muhammad Ali, who found those answers in Islam. And you look at people like Cat Stevens, also, who, you know, they were at top of frame. They were like the most popular people in those different areas. And they all found these answers in Islam. And I think that for the viewers, if you also turn to Islam with an open heart and an open mind, you too will also find these answers in Islam.
Do you think that the majority of people are looking up to these celebrities? Like when you go to, we have like Jewel, Osco, the drugstore, and you see all the different soap opera magazine. Everywhere you look, there's some kind of celebrity.
Right.
And it seems like subconsciously somebody has a dream, the average person has a dream, I want to be like him. You think this is something
that's
normal?
For sure, I mean, this is normal. This is the human. Every human being has certain people that they look up to. And you'll find, you know, that these people, that many celebrities, although, you know, masses look up to them, they themselves are facing, you know, trials and tribulations in their lives. They seem very happy in front of the camera, but I mean, after that, they have family, they have friends, they have, you know, a whole life that they have to deal with. And so you find many, you know, prominent celebrities that people look up to them and want to be like them. Like a lot of people, a lot of women look up to Britney Spears, but you know, it's unfortunate that, you know,
she's falling apart.
They're basically just, you know, they take from her entertainment, but unfortunately the people don't give back to her. So there's no one there for her morally. There's no one there for her spiritually. And so these are people that have this big gap, and it needs to be filled. You know, and so I think that you know, many people are looking to Islam and finding the answer in Islam, and just the same way, like I said, like I founded it, because I mean, Islam comes from the root word salam, which means peace. And so to be at peace with the creator who created you, that's a huge thing. If you are at peace with the creator, the one who created you, if you are at peace with your neighbor, if you are at peace with society that you live in, then you're going to have peace of mind and peace in your life, you know. So I mean, the issue of these celebrities that people look up to, you know, is normal, because they're always in the media, they're always in your face. But I think we have some role models that we should also look to, and these are like I said, as the Creator sent us instructors, He also sent us instructions, He also sent us instructors. And these are the messengers and the prophets. And so you'll find that many prominent intellectuals have recognized, for example, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, as a great man, one of the greatest people to ever live. As Michael J. Hart mentioned in one of his books, where he says that, you know, the 100 most influential men in history, he put Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, as the number one person. So I think that it's important for people to look into the lives of the prophets, like Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, like Prophet Jesus, Prophet Moses. These are all brothers in faith coming from one God, one message, although they spoke different languages. So I think this is an important issue to look into and take as our role models.
Tell us, we're going to get into some of the wonderful work you're doing, but before that, some people, they forget about death. We're told that, I think just in America, you got over 4,200 people dying a day. I just want to reflect on this because this is something that shook me up. This is something that had me get my act together, reflecting over that one day, I'm going to be in the grave. Mm. So this is something that people really, they don't think about. Can you address this?
For sure. The issue of death, I mean, if there's one thing that every living person is sure of, is that they're going to die. There's no doubt in anyone's mind. Between all religions, between all intellectuals, I mean, whether rich or poor, you know, famous or unknown, black or white, death is going to come for you wherever you are. And this is a reality that everyone accepts, but the problem is many people don't like to think about it. But I believe that if someone reflects upon death, that will truly bring life to your heart. Because when you think about death, then you realize how precious life is. You value your life. Every moment counts. Every minute counts. Every day is just one day closer to the grave. And when you start thinking like this, you can treasure what you have because you know it's not always going to be with you. And when you begin to treasure life, it's going to bring more meaning to your life. You're going to have a more, you're going to live every day like your last day. And this is from the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, when he came to one of his companions, Ibn Umar, and he took him by the shoulder and he said, "No, kun fi dunya ka annaka gharib. No, be in this world like you are a stranger. O abris sabil, or a person that's a traveler just passing by." This advice that the Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, told one of his companions affected him. And this companion, Ibn Umar, he began to say, إِذَا أَمْسَيْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَذِرْ الصَّبَاحِ. If you reach the evening time, do not fool yourself to think that you're going to live till the morning. وَإِذَا أَصْبَحْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَذِرْ الْمَسَاءِ. And if you reach the morning, do not fool yourself to think that you'll live till the evening. He said, خُذْ مِنْ صِحَتِكْ قَبْلَ مَرَضِكْ وَخُذْ مِنْ حَيَاتِكْ قَبْلَ مَوْتِكْ. To take from your health before your sickness and take from your life before your death. And I think this is, this advice is very valuable advice and it has many jewels in it if someone contemplates and thinks about it.
Hopefully we got some more people's attention now because this is a fact. We can disagree on a lot of things, but the fact is that we're all going to die and we need to start thinking beyond the money and the fame and the fortune. We need to think about serious things. Tell us now, you're doing some wonderful work. You're an inspiration to a lot of us because not only did you come and you accepted Islam and you didn't drag your feet. I mean, you're now in Medina, you're studying, what, about 8 years now? And you're the president of, you even took it to another level, the Canadian Dawah Association. Talk about this for a second.
Well, alhamdulillah, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed me to be a Muslim and guided me to have this peace of mind and this tranquility in my life, I realized that there's a lot of people out there, like I was, a person still searching, still in the dark, caught up in the fast life thinking that that's going to bring happiness. And I said to myself, you know, I'm so thankful to my Creator for guiding me to Islam. How about the other people? You know, how about the people who never got a chance to know about Islam? We owe them this. We believe Islam is their birthright. They have a right to know about Islam before they die. So we founded the Canadian Dawah Association, which is a registered nonprofit organization with the Canadian government, focusing on presenting Islam to non-Muslims, also helping the new Muslims that accept Islam, and also trying to get rid of the misconceptions, the many misconceptions that have been spread throughout the media. So with the Canadian Dawah Association, we've been able to reach out to a number of the general public. Although it's based in Canada, it's not limited to Canada. In general, in the Western world, we've been able to produce material, DVDs, CDs, and general flyers that inform the general public about Islam and give them an opportunity to learn about this way of life that's full of peace, this way of life that's full of tranquility. And so I think a number of people have been touched by it. Another thing that we have been doing with the Canadian Dawah Association you know, following the guidance of the Prophet, peace be upon him, Prophet Muhammad, when he used to give a special focus also to people of influence. The Prophet, peace be upon him, used to write to the leaders and the kings of different nations. He used to focus on the leaders of the tribes in that area, inviting them to learn about Islam. He also used to make special supplication to Allah, saying, Allahumma ihdi ahad al-umrayn, O Allah, guide one of the two Umars, meaning Abu Jahl or Umar ibn Khattab, because these were people of great influence at that time. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, took this strategy, it's from his sunnah, that you reach out to people of influence in an appropriate manner, and you encourage them to learn about Islam, or to learn about this way of peace, so that they can also benefit from the solutions of Islam. You know, a person, it's not fair to some people that they have to go through their whole life and they don't know who their creator is. It's not fair that they have to go through their whole life and they don't know that there are solutions to their problems in Islam and in the Quran. So the creator mentions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran that the Prophet Muhammad was sent as a rahmatan lil alameen. He was sent as a mercy to all of mankind. So if people are going through their whole life and they don't even know about the Prophet Muhammad, who is a mercy to mankind, that would explain why many people are living in punishment and misery, and, you know, having a hard life. So I think it's our duty as people who are grateful for Islam, people who are grateful for the blessing and this bounty of being a Muslim, it's your duty that you share it with your neighbor, that you share it with your colleagues at work, that you share it with your society that you live in. And we have a motto that says, if they do not accept Islam, they're going to respect Islam. You know, there are some people, they may not convert or become Muslim, but it doesn't mean they cannot benefit from the Islamic solutions. Islam has solutions that people can benefit from. Whether people have problem with alcohol, whether people have problem with drugs, whether people have problem with violence, Islam has solutions for that. So we want to offer everyone this valuable thing of Islam, this jewel that we believe is their birthright.
Solutions to all of mankind's problems. We're sitting here with Brother Tajam with the CDA, telling us his wonderful story. Now, we're going to hit a few more points and we're going to come to an end. Tell us now some of these, because we talked about people and nowadays they're looking up to celebrities. Name some, I'm sure some people are curious, who are some of these celebrities that are, you know, realizing that, you know what, I'm climbing this ladder and I'm getting higher and higher, but you know what, there's something missing and this ain't filling that void. So name some of these people that people look up to that are coming.
There's a number of celebrities. I mean, you don't have to look far. I mean, but I mean, from some of them, like we mentioned, like Napoleon, who was a famous rapper, you know,
yeah,
rap artist.
We talked about him.
I mean, he accepted Islam
from Tupac's crew.
Yeah. He's been with the most famous rapper in history.
You know, yeah, Tupac
is the most famous rapper in history.
Dave Chappelle.
Yeah, also from his group, you got also Young Noble, you got Castro, Idi. I mean, these are all people.
House
from
of Pain. What's the guy from House of Pain?
Everlast.
He's a Muslim.
He became Muslim too.
Okay.
You know, Dave Chappelle. I mean, there are a number of people that are looking for spirituality and they're finding their answers in Islam.
Yeah.
Recently, you know, you just heard, it's been in the media, it's been in the news just about 2-3 weeks ago, Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson.
You know, I mean, these are people that definitely had problems in their life, but they are finding solutions in Islam. So we encourage people to, you know, look into Islam. If people like, you know, famous people like these people who seem to have everything and more than many people will ever have, are finding answers in peace and tranquility in Islam, then we're going to, you know, we have to encourage others to look for that as well.
I want to make one thing clear though. When we hear these celebrities' name, I want to make sure that we make it clear that they're not our examples.
Right.
Even if somebody accepts Islam from some of the big celebrities, they're human beings.
For sure.
They're not representing Islam. Can you clear this?
Of course. I mean, it's known that if you want to look to a religion, you have to take it from its source. And so the best example of any Muslim, or the best example of someone who practices Islam, is a prophet and the messenger, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. He himself is the example. He himself is the explanation of the Quran. He himself is the interpretation of how one should live their life. And as for the many celebrities that benefited from that, that's their benefit. They have been inspired by the character, by the individual, by the morals and the morality of the Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him. So, we should look to the main example, or the top example, or the supreme example, and that's the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him.
The last and final messenger sent to mankind. Now, the person, even the skeptic, he wants to know what Islam is calling him to. Let's finish this up, if you can briefly explain what Islam means, what it is, and what someone has to do to become a Muslim. There might be some people right now, we want to get their, keep their attention, because as soon as they flick the channel, they might see some half-naked women on the other side, they might be jumping in the car with the 12-inch speakers, and you know what, they're back into the worldly things. We got their attention. Mm. Talk to them. Give them the message.
Well, I mean, I gotta say something that, I mean, some sincere advice to all the viewers and anyone out there, that truly, you know, this life is a short life, and no matter what, like as we mentioned earlier, if you're watching, you know, death is a reality, and we're all gonna die, and we want to make the best of our life before we pass away, and so I'm saying that, coming from a background of a person that was busy in this worldly life, looking for happiness in all the wrong things, looking for happiness sometimes in a bottle, looking for happiness sometimes in materials. We found that the only way a person will be happy is if they get happiness from the one who created them, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And so Islam, which comes from the root word salam, which means peace, is the way that a person can find happiness. If someone becomes a Muslim or believes in the creator of the heavens and earth, that he is one. He's not a man or a woman, but he created men and created women. You believe that this creator has not created you without a purpose, and that you have a purpose in life, and that is to live an upright life, be a godly person, a person who is morally upright and trying to do good to others. If you believe in the creator of the heavens and the earth and believe that, you know, you do have a purpose in life, and your purpose in life is to try to be good to others and to try to worship this creator, singling him out alone in worship, not worshiping any creation along with him, and you believe in all the righteous teachers and messengers that he sent, starting from Adam to Noah to Moses, all the way down to Jesus and Muhammad, peace be upon him, being the last of them, then that's a simple equation of Islam. To believe and testify that there's nothing worthy of worship except Allah alone, and to testify that Muhammad, peace be upon him, is his final messenger. This is the key to happiness. This is the key to success. This is the key that prominent people like Malcolm X found. This is the key that prominent people like Muhammad Ali found. This is the key that many, many celebrities are finding today. And I think this is the key that will be success for your life.
That's it. You know what? They watched the other shows. We're coming to an end. You heard it. You testified that there's no one worthy of worship except the creator of the heavens and the earth, in Arabic, Allah, and Muhammad is his messenger. And someone becomes a Muslim. How do they say it in Arabic?
If a person wants to say it in Arabic after understanding it in English, the person says, Ashadu an la ilaha illallah. It means, I bear witness, there's nothing worthy of worship except Allah.
Ashadu an la ilaha illallah.
وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his final messenger.
Simple.
If a person believes that and says that on his tongue with a belief in his heart, that person becomes a Muslim right away. And so we believe that person is following the religion of the Prophet Muhammad, the religion of Jesus, the religion of Moses, and all the prophets. We believe that this is one religion that was revealed from the creator of the heavens and the earth. And this is the way that a person will find peace and tranquility in their life.
Brother, thank you for being with us on the Deen Show. May Allah, God Almighty, reward you.
Amen.
And I'd like to thank everyone for tuning in to another episode of the Deen Show. I'd like to thank you for sitting tight through another show. As you heard it, you've heard Allah. The name Allah simply means the one, the only one worthy of worship, the creator of the heavens and the earth. You heard the word Quran. This is the verbatim word of God. And now we talked about death. It can strike you at any time. Think about these more serious questions. Why am I here? Why have I been created? Continue to come back every week. Continue to ponder. These are very serious issues. Islam is not a religion of terrorism or terrifying people. Islam, as you've heard the brothers say, it stems from the root word peace. Acquired by how? Submitting to the one true God. Worshipping Him alone and not His creation. It's a simple formula. And we take, for examples, not the celebrities, but we take the best example to mankind, the last and final messenger, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and then affirming all the messengers, even Jesus. We love Him too, as a messenger. So we hope to see you again next time here on the Deen Show. Until next time, Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يؤوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم
سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر
سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر
سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر.